Chapter 8 Hell. When he looked up again, he saw the archway was upon them. It stood high overhead, square and indomitable. Furrows wide enough for horses to gallop within their troughs carved straight lines up the columns. It stood proud of the rock face, which itself stretched so high he could not see the top. Udo watched the column on his left as they passed beneath. He thought it might be far away, yet it was so enormous he could not be sure. Holding fast to Geffen's arm, he pulled back his head and looked upward. The top loomed above. This is how an ant feels walking through a doorway, he thought. He said nothing as they moved through that space. He felt as though the cavern itself eyed his passage and that it did not care for his presence. The other end opened into a new chamber, yet another space, so large Udo lacked the sense to give it voice. He thought if he could have combined Goslar and Kolmar together into a single domain, it would easily cradle within the center. The floor sank before them in a titanic funnel, burrowing far into the cavern rock so that the bottom was hidden from his sight. They stood together upon the caldera, looking down into it. The Valley of Hell, Geffen proclaimed. Udo felt his vision shifting again. It was like a feather tickling behind his eyeballs. Suddenly, he could see easier all around, so that the ceiling of the cavern warmed to his eyes. He realized the funnel glowed like the embers of a blue alien fire. He dug at his eyes, fearing some form of hallucination. Perhaps his mind had finally broken. But when he looked again, he saw that the blue light was still there. It glowed in dotted concentric rings that followed the funnel downward. It looked to Udo as if someone had painted a target upon a sheet of fabric, stretched it over a frame, and pulled the center toward the floor. He saw that the rings were composed of tiny individual lights, blue candle flames that did not flicker. They only shone with a vibrancy that grew the longer he looked on them. He soon discovered that the rings were gapped in some places. The pattern was irregular. Straining his eyes, he saw that arches of rock grew over the lights sometimes, as if the rings had been carved right through the cavern's skin. Which, he supposed, they very well must have been.
What are they?
Udo whispered. Geffen looked at him. The melam upon his face was still transparent, but Udo could not read his expression.
Those are the souls who dwell here, he pointed toward the center of the valley. We must pass among them, down to the center there.
The center?
It is the gateway to the halls of On.
On? You mean Godon? Why so many names?
Geffen looked at him again. There was something in his eyes now. Mischief, maybe interest.
Call him any name you prefer. As well call him Udo, in fact. It does not matter. The name means nothing. The letters from which it is composed cannot contain that he is the god of all you see and more besides.
Geffen made to continue onward, but Udo refused to budge. It was a strange feeling. He desired not to move further, and so his feet had remained firmly planted, even when Geffen, who gripped him at the elbow, was drawn up short. Udo looked down at his feet in surprise. It had taken no strength to hold his position. Geffen seemed shocked when he met Udo's gaze, but the other ignored it.
On, Udo repeated. Our gods, the stories they told us are what they told each other. They're not real. Or maybe I should say they're only a shadow of the truth.
We must continue, Udo. Did the priests know? Did they feed us the stories intentionally, or were they sleeping as well?
Udo, please. Why are you taking me to him, Geffen? What is the purpose?
He has commanded. A shadow passed overhead like a rolling cloud. All around them, the cavern darkened. The blue lights of the funnel, souls, Geffen had claimed, dimmed, then winked out as if in a gale. From someplace far away, Udo heard a lowing cry.
fast, Geffen hissed.
He scurried past Udo in jerking strides, never fully breaking contact with the floor. Udo stood frozen on the spot, still in shock from the sudden darkness. He realized he was cold, shivering beyond all control. He felt his arm yanked. The cavern slewed sideways around him. His feet had left the ground. Geffen was fleeing toward the rock wall just beyond the archway, hauling Udo behind, who floated lazily as if he was dragged over the surface of a lake. He was pointed upward toward the ceiling overhead, muscles locked rigid, unable to breathe. Somewhere there was a deeper darkness, far and high, something composed of shadow and malice, something that snuffled through the blackness and slavered with stupid hatred. Then he was surrounded on all sides by the cavern rock. Looking all around, he understood that Geffen had dived into a cave or tunnel of some sort. They were plunging deeper without slowing. Udo felt the opening of the cave beneath his feet, felt a presence grasping up underneath to snatch him by the feet and drag him out. He tried to shriek, but could not. His jaw had locked shut as tremors ran the length of his whole body. It was all he could do to look downward, far below toward the mouth of the cave. A piercing white light filled the tunnel. Something like a leg, insectile and many-segmented, ending in a claw, prodded along the edges. It probed blindly, and as he stared, Udo was certain he felt the intent behind it. It was raw hunger, raw hatred. It was mindless, careless. A river of blood coursing between tree-sized fangs, sweeping bits of rotten meat out to a sewage pit. Then Geffen pulled him around a bend in the rock, and all was total darkness. He felt himself forced into a seated position against the wall. Arms enwrapped him, and a hand fell over his mouth. So close that the sound might have come from within himself, he heard the press of Geffen's shushing. Struggling, he turned his head back along the way they'd come, eyes rolling like a dying horse. Somewhere in the blackness, he saw small swells of searching light. He waited for the shimmering, knuckled leg to creep around the bend. Shh, shh, shh. His eyes had adjusted yet again. He could see the shape of the cave surrounding them. It stretched out in a narrow tunnel, rough and jagged walls, just large enough for them to stand in as long as they hunched over. To his left was the probing light, now brighter after the adaptation of his sight. He glanced right and saw the tunnel burrowing deeper into darkness. A voice within his ear said, "We must wait for the light to leave. As long as the feeler is within the cave, it can sense our movement." Udo began to ask what it was, but could not complete the thought. He got as far as, "What is?" before two things happened at once. Inside of his ear, Geffen hissed, "Quiet!" Down the tunnel, Udo saw the light flicker.
"Quiet," he repeated. "It feels when you use your mouth. Small vibrations are transmitted through your body into the rock. Touching the rock, it hears you."
Despite the terror, perhaps a dozen questions paraded through his mind. It could feel them? What was it? How had Geffen spoken to him? The voice was almost inside of his head. Was it the godskin again? Was this something Udo could do as well? How would they get away? He tried to send back that he understood, focusing as much of his will as could be recovered into that one thought, but he had no idea if Geffen heard him. Finally, he nodded as gently as he could. The light flickered again.
"Don't move."
Far down the tunnel, the black silhouette of a snake appeared. Slithering along the surface blindly, rearing up to probe along the walls and ceiling, it arched backward and bowed its head as if in prayer, then dipped to rest its nose upon the rock feather light. It moved as if it feared to disturb the dust that had settled there. Terror, the likes of which Udo could not understand, gripped his heart. He heard it within himself, bucking and pounding like a bolting horse. Not even when he was a young child had he ever felt this way. Seeing the Dvergas at their filthy work was a small chore by comparison. Outside of his control, his mind drifted back to a time in which he'd dangled above the world by his fingertips. The insane compulsion to simply let go and let himself fall into the throne of the sun god to be consumed in flame. There was a hateful inevitability he could not escape, and the animal within him had sought to escape it by seeking out the fastest possible end. He felt that animal stirring within him now. He felt the precursive bunching of leg muscle. Soon he would stand. He would wrench himself from Geffen's arms and plummet down the shaft toward the gently tapping serpent, screaming, laughing, gibbering, to be enfolded and dragged back to the cavern of hell. Whatever might happen to him would happen, and then at least it would be over and the terror might leave. The terror might leave. "Now," Geffen whispered. Udo blinked. For a moment he had no idea where he was. He'd forgotten himself, forgotten he was wedged against the tunnel wall, forgotten his old friend was with him. His mouth was so dry he couldn't swallow. It was dark again. He looked left and saw the light had gone. "Ugh," he moaned.
"Gather yourself, Udo. Shake it off. We must move now."
Geffen lurched to his feet, dragging Udo behind. He felt his body leave the floor and drift a while before he collected his feet. They hit the floor on a run, and soon Geffen had let him go. They were clawing along the cave walls side by side. At first, Udo could scarcely keep up with him. It was like those nightmares he used to have. He'd forgotten how to run, or his legs sank into the ground, or the ground was mud. Geffen peered back at him as if seeing him fall from a cliff. Suddenly, Udo had the impression that he was falling, that they were climbing up a vertical shaft, and he teetered near to falling. He threw himself down against the side, grasped the irregular stones that lined the floor, and then realized that he truly was in a vertical shaft. Behind him was really down, and ahead was up. Now, using his hands as well as his feet, he surged upward. It was easy work. His body was weightless. No effort at all to launch himself up the tube. And he realized the palms of his hands could stick to the wall as well as the soles of his feet. Udo lengthened and contracted his spine like a cat and hurtled upward. Soon he felt Geffen somewhere behind him struggling to keep up. He slowed out of instinct. It had never been his nature to abandon his friends. He'd always had far too few of them to spend so cheaply. But almost as soon as he let off speed, he heard that voice in his ear again.
"No, I'm all right. Keep moving. A new tunnel comes on your right. Take it."
The opening appeared on his side almost as soon as Geffen said it. Udo flew by, seeing the dark shaft pass beneath him. He flung out a hand and hooked the lip, filling the entire palm with a stone that his mind, for some reason, insisted felt precisely like a polished skull. He knew instantly that there were no hard edges into which he could dig his fingers, and out of instinct, commanded his hand to hold fast. It was as he'd felt when Geffen had jerked his arm before. The hand held quite easily to the rock face while the rest of his body lengthened out up the shaft and snapped like a whip. He'd grabbed the stone thoughtlessly with his right arm, the same arm he'd injured before, and snarled as the shoulder screamed in ice-cold fury. As soon as the pain bloomed, he felt the godskin around him tighten. There was a grinding crack inside his mind, followed by a brilliant flash of agony, and then he was suddenly in the new tunnel, scurrying forward like a spider with a clipped leg. There was a moment in which he stumbled, now feeling clumsy as he used only one arm in this new orientation. Then he realized that, apart from his mangled arm, nothing had really changed. He was still climbing upward despite the turn. Every direction in this place was any direction he needed. The cavern would orient around him in whichever manner he desired. He had only to decide where it was best for Up to be and place it there. Tucking his right arm into his chest like a fractured wing, he fell to using only his left hand and legs and soon discovered he could move just as swiftly as before. They kept on like this, with Geffen sending directions to him all the while.
"Left, right, right, up, now down."
Udo soon learned to think of up as the direction his back faced and down as the direction of his belly. It mattered little to him. So long as he could keep flinging his body along a shaft, he felt as though he flew like an eagle. Eventually, Geffen called for them to stop. It took some effort, using only his left hand. He slowed down gradually, rather than jerking to an abrupt halt, afraid to damage his left shoulder as badly as his right. They bounced upward several more meters, eventually drifting to a halt, and Udo clung to the wall, panting. His heart still pounded within him, but now it was a healthy beat. It felt alive and strong, powerful. He thought he could have carried on at full speed for hours before tiring, and realized there was a wish deep within to do just that. It was as if he'd discovered he could fly or breathe underwater. He leaned out from the wall to look down the shaft and saw Geffen just below. He stood out from the wall sideways, gripping the surface with his feet alone.
"We can rest a while here," Geffen said. "We've lost it for now."
Udo twisted within the shaft and told himself that up was now sideways. There was a lurch in his stomach, and his mouth salivated briefly as if he might vomit, but the sensation passed quickly. He set his back against the rock opposite his friend.
"You've damaged your arm again," Geffen said. "It's nothing. The godskin has repaired it." "Is that why you hold it to your chest?"
Udo sighed.
"Whether it is or isn't, is there anything you could do right now to fix it?"
Geffen did not answer.
"Right," Udo nodded. "Therefore, it's nothing."
Geffen grunted, something like a laugh, and rested his head back against the wall.
"Something was chasing us," Udo said. "Many things, I think. It was strange. I thought I could hear them when my hands touched upon the rock. When I flew through the air unanchored, it was like the sound disappeared. There is no air in hell. The sound you hear is transmitted to you through the cavern rock. I was beginning to suspect something of the sort. What followed us? The Dvergas, of course. No, don't look at me like that. They would not have destroyed you. Their intent was only to carry you back to the Watcher."
"The Watcher?"
"You saw it. The darkness that fell upon us. The searching light and the probes that followed after. You saw only a part of it, I imagine."
"I wanted to go to it. I couldn't help myself. I nearly did, Geffen. I nearly did. I nearly ran right toward the thing before you got us moving up the tunnel."
Geffen nodded. He closed his eyes as if they were weary.
"It does have that effect. It guards this place?
More or less. Why did it come for me? I thought An wanted me here."
Geffen opened his eyes to stare at Udo. There was something in them the digger sensed but could not name.
"He does," Geffen muttered. "But you must try to understand this. Right now, you are a prize. Two gods, An's children, fight for the honor of bringing you to his side. There is your mother, Yerpisha, or Ing, if you prefer. And on the other side, Tyr."
"Indeed.
Or Hanman, or Lelwani."
"Lelwani?"
"It is the name he's taken for himself rather than the name that mankind has given him."
"Who is he?" Udo asked. "Who?" "I will find you."
"Udo, are you all right?"
"What?"
Geffen watched him closely.
"You just jerked as if you'd been prodded with a knife. Are you well?"
"Did you just hear—"
"What?"
"Nothing,"
Udo sighed.
"I suppose it was nothing."
Geffen watched him a moment more, then shrugged.
"Who is he?"
his friend repeated.
"I suppose the easiest answer is that he is An."
"What?"
"A piece of An, anyway. As Yerpisha, your mother, is only a piece of An."
"A piece? I don't understand."
Geffen nodded.
"I know. Please consider. An, the supreme god, is absolute. He must concern himself with the workings of not just one world, but all worlds, as well as the realms that house them. His mind, like his power, is absolute and functions in ways you could scarcely fathom. The paradox is that his absolute strength is also a weakness. He must focus on tasks so great and so minuscule. When he turns within the dealings of men, so he must be less of himself to function. He must embed a fraction of himself within his children, and they, with their narrowed focus, may carry out his will.
Are there many of them? An's children?
Geffen shrugged.
As many as needed. Lalwani and Irpisha, you know. Also Zulki, Andutari, Amunki, Nara. They all serve an aspect of his personality.
But they fight each other? You set him a prize.
Geffen smiled when he said,
Have you never felt conflict within yourself?
Udo scoffed. You sound like a fucking back-alley mystic.
It makes no sense at all.
It may yet, Udo. Give it time.
I'll find you in time.
I think I hear it, Udo whispered.
It?
What? The Watcher, or whatever you call it. I think it's still in here somewhere. I feel it pulling.
Geffen stood suddenly.
We'd better be on our way, then. I hadn't realized. Are you under control? Do you feel like running suddenly?
No. I only feel it in there, tugging somehow.
He tapped at his temple. Geffen helped Udo to his feet and then gestured along the shaft.
You go first. Keep talking if you can. You must keep your mind distracted.
They walked for a while in silence, despite Geffen's warning. Udo could feel him waiting, though. He struggled to find words, to think of something to discuss. But as he searched within himself, he found only the insistent tug at the center of his mind. It was like a piece of gristle stuck between his teeth that refused to dislodge.
Udo? Yes, I know, goddammit. I can't think of anything to say. It's not as if there's any weather to discuss in this shithole. Think of something soon. It's only going to get worse.
He's right, you know. Come to me. Come out of the cave. There's no reason to go through all this. Come to me and I will take you straight to An, and all the needless toil can be set aside.
Go fuck yourself, Udo growled. I beg your pardon? And fuck you too, Geffen. Why don't you do the talking for a change? It used to be you wouldn't shut up.
It doesn't work that way, I'm afraid.
Oh, sure. Of course it doesn't. Tell me anything. Tell me what you've been doing since I saw you last.
Since you saw me last.
They continued on. Sometimes Geffen directed them along new passages. Mostly, there was only the endless tunnel spiraling out ahead.
Udo? He didn't answer. Udo, are you still with me?
Are you here?
He whispered.
What?
Udo shook his head and sighed.
It's what I said when I stepped into the new world. I'd expected her to be there, waiting for me. I said, are you here? I said it a few times, I think, before I followed the tunnel out. Always thinking she'd be just there beyond the edge of my sight. The tunnels between worlds aren't like this at all. These jagged chips and rocks. They're polished smooth like glass. When you walk along them, they eventually open out to a lip and you find the mountain beyond. And then after that, the whole world opens up before you. An entire world, Geffen. And standing there, you can see every bit of it at once.
As if you're a god.